One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. And in the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
I've gotten in a lot of trouble recently on TikTok.
Why are you in trouble on TikTok?
A few things. I watched a documentary about the disposal of nuclear waste. And okay. I made a TikTok about my thoughts on the documentary, which apparently were very wrong and angered the nuclear power community. And accusations of being an ignorant fearmonger.
Oh, what?
Have
really?
Been levied towards me. Because I am an anti-nuclear propaganda plant on TikTok.
I saw that.
So you're all caught up.
Put me on TikTok. For this exact moment where I would talk badly about nuclear power and then it would somehow affect policy.
Right.
That's
okay.
Crazy.
Well, you know,
wasn't
are
it just
they
that
right?
One?
Are you though? You can tell us. This is a safe spot.
I mean, it doesn't matter whether I'm right or wrong. The whole point was that we're disposing of nuclear waste. And what if somebody opens this nuclear waste up in 100,000 years? And they're like, that's not going to happen, you fool. No one's ever going to do that. It's completely safe and fine. Which, upon further reading, it was. I mean, it's not, but it is. Still, though. I mean...
No, but... And, do you get and a... To Chris's point, are you?
Am I what? Wrong?
Paid by the oil companies.
Oh, paid by the oil companies. Yes.
Yes. Do you get a lot of negative... Yeah, I don't think... Like, you're not out there...
Anytime I share any opinion. This time,
it's different. With Peter and Chris. This time, it's different.
I remember watching, like, stumbling across the first episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and being like, what the fuck is this show? It looks like hot garbage.
Yeah.
Because it did.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I let that one pass because quality was good. That's the thing about a lot of the Canadian stuff. It looks bad, and then it is.
I think FX just, like, took a flyer on it. They were like, ah. And then they they didn't give them that much money or something in the first season.
Well, it was the classic like self-done pilot where he spent like $1,000 and they shot a pilot and then shopped it. And you know, it's the success story we all live and want.
the one time it worked.
Speaking of success stories, we could do it ourselves. Like we could just go with our phones right now and do it.
Yeah.
And now, that's and I'm sort of what you did. No, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Brian. Our guest.
I know. I was just interrupting Brian because he kind of stepped on it, and I thought it was a really good moment. Like Chris had a full in to introduce you.
I had a full segue, and I was in the segue. I was in the middle of my segue into introducing you, and now you've stepped on me.
And now, and I stepped on Chris, I think, when he tried to do the second time.
We were talking about success stories, doing it yourself. Brian Nothling did that for himself. He's a dear friend of ours and a comedian.
That's perfect. So, Chris, do you want to try that then? That's good.
Yeah, sure. That's a good segue.
Do you
want to
try
like
that? Do something like that.
Speaking of success stories and doing.
Begin. Here we go.
Jesus Christ.
Ready
Jesus,
to go?
Jeez Louise.
And we're live.
I don't need to swear, but jeez Louise.
and live on Chris, and we're live.
Our friend
Speaking
Brian.
Speaking of success stories.
Fuck. Sweet fuck. And I probably peaked the mic just there, and I don't care. Okay.
I loved it.
Want the audience member to hear my frustration in the crackle form.
Yeah, that was good. I can tell I'm going to be in trouble. Okay, I'm done now. I'm done talking.
No, don't be done. Don't be done. We need you for the pod.
This bit's got...
We're an old... We all used to be in a sketch group together back in Vancouver called the Furious Anger Fun Hour.
Yeah.
This is Brian Nothling, one of the original members of the Furious Anger Fun Hour.
Hello.
Faff.
Faff.
As nobody really wanted to say, but they did, because saying Furious Anger Fun Hour was obnoxious.
Not a lot of anger. Not a lot of anger in our sketches.
No, we are nice boys. We're a bunch of nice boys. And
it was really just like a pick a name and run with it kind of thing. I can't remember the process.
It's whatever process improv troupes used to name themselves. We did that.
Yeah, eggs for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, eggs for breakfast.
Like, good enough, let's go.
Martinis at 9. Well, didn't we used to have an improv troupe called Martinis at 9?
Hey, we're Martinis at 9. Yeah, that's perfect.
We started doing...
That's when you come down and have a martini before dinner.
And martinis at 9.
We had a lot of fun sketches, you know, that we're going to read one out at the end of the pod. So you have to listen to the very end. Yeah, that's what you do. That's on YouTube. It's clickbaity, right?
Yeah.
We're going
to read to the end. You wait till the end. You get my discount code.
Yeah,
it's at the end. That's what all my chess streamers tell me. They want me to wait to the end to get their discount code. Yeah, I watch chess streamers.
I thought you were streaming chess, but you watch chess streamers.
I've thought about streaming bad chess.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone would want to watch me do that.
I mean, personally, I'd watch. That sounds awesome. Because you'd learn. We'd learn from it.
I've been playing chess for over a year, and I have hardly improved.
Did you jump in the Queen's Gambit craze?
Absolutely. I started playing chess, Queen's Gambit, and... I mean, it gets bleak in here sometimes. I'm alone... I'm swearing. I'm yelling at myself.
If you ever want to dust off playing Settlers of Catan, when we used to live together as well, that's a whole other thing. Mm-hmm. We had the Settlers of Catan permanently set up on the dinner table.
Yeah.
It's
been a while since I've played.
I've been playing online, and it's less about chance than you think, you know? There's a reason that the same person wins all the time, because they're better. They're good.
It's like because you can think strategically about your resources or whatever. Like if you're
doing the
math.
You can use deception and trickery.
Even online,
you can. Because I was always like playing the social game. I like lying.
Online, less fun, less deception and trickery. It's very much like nobody trades. You just get what you get, and you play it out until you see who wins.
Why would you trade, really? I mean. Ultimately, it doesn't really make that much sense, but it's fun.
Well,
To trade. Like, you're giving someone something they want, and you're getting something. Just wait.
Why would anybody trade? Yeah. You know, in the world.
I think, if you play,
we have lumber, and that's ours. And
if there's four players, and two of them refuse to trade, and two of them trade with each other, I feel like one of those, the tradey two would win. because they don't have to wait.
Right, but the tradey two shouldn't trade either. No one should trade.
Oh, you're saying like you'd have a rule of no trade.
I feel like you probably have a better chance of winning if no one ever trades. In like the upper echelon of Catan players, I bet you no one ever trades.
Oh,
rarely is a trade.
No trading, except for social, for like social gaming.
It's like, yeah, it's like chess grandmasters. They memorize all the moves. They're all doing the same moves all the time because
and to your point, do you know what you never see in chess? Fucking trading. Nobody ever trades a castle for another castle or like, no. I'll give you my castle for two pawns. Just like you don't see trading.
It's like chess is kind of like war. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Don't you think? No. Go with me. Go with me on this. Okay. There's two sides facing
Follow him on this, though.
And they're going to attack each other and they take each other out. It's very much like war.
And you're like the general commanding.
Exactly. It's crazy. Crazy. Somebody should make that comparison. It's crazy.
And it's like, and it's modern war, too, because you're the puppet behind the king and the queen.
Hey, check this out.
Whoa.
What's that?
Check out this mug.
Is that Ryan merch? Does Ryan have merch? Wait. What the hell? We have merch?
No, it was a gift. It was given to me. Somebody made me my own merch. That's the opposite of how merch works.
How do I get some merch? How do I get our merch?
Well, I tell you what, we're going to...
Chris, do I buy our merch?
Hey, if you want to get one of these mugs, comment in the comments, and maybe we'll do an order of mugs or something, and you can donate to us. I don't know. We'll buy
five mugs. We'll sell three of them.
Yeah,
this is my trademark mug, and people would like me to sell it, but it's already being sold.
Yeah, it's just a product.
Tell me, okay, so your TikTok star.
Yeah, let's go
star,
there. Let's go there.
This is your trademark mug. Every morning, you do a daily video.
Yes.
It's very stand-up. It's very stand-up comedy-like, what you're doing.
I would almost say it's gone
Where did
like,
the mug come from?
It's gone more late night recently, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. It started
we'll be right back.
It started with me wanting to try and distill my long verbose stand-up comedy bits into 1 minute so that I could actually do them on stage.
Right.
Because I'm convinced someone wants to hear me do a 15-minute bit.
I remember you doing stand-up in Vancouver, and I thought you were very good. And you were doing you were doing long bits.
A little long-winded. But
long walks. Shaggy dogs.
A long-winded bit about a duvet cover? Sign me up.
Yeah, 100%. So these... It's TikTok or it's just Instagram, but they started as sort of a writing exercise or like a performing exercise.
Yes, it started as a writing exercise to get me out of the rut that I was in. And I gave myself a goal that has now since expanded into what this is now.
I love it.
I was originally only going to do 90 videos in 90 days.
Right.
Oh, like the challenge, like as a challenge.
Right?
Within that 90 days, did you just blow up? And then you're like, wow, I need to do this all the time.
Once I got on TikTok, and I went from Instagram to TikTok, and I saw that you can get a dumb amount of views for doing whatever. I was like, "Oh, here we are."
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then here you are,
and
you're going to be selling those mugs. Yeah. I gave you that product idea, that merch idea.
Yeah, a mug with a picture of me holding a mug,
and then mug is you holding a mug, and it goes. Forever.
Regression.
It's inception.
Yes, it's an inception, and I want that.
We'll be right back. Inside the mug at the bottom, so once the drink is finished, you could have the text like, we'll be right back, or something like that.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a much more expensive mug to make.
Yeah, probably.
To get writing on the inside.
Yeah, probably. That's probably not cheap.
Because that has to be on there, too. You can't have that leaching into the drink, or else I'm going to have lawsuits.
I'll give you some hook. I found a good hookup for mugs. See, if you look over my shoulder here.
For inside printing?
Right here. And they do inside printing. Every Second City cast that I'm in, I get the photo on the mug. And I give them away as, cast gifts. But they're about $8 each. So you're going to charge $20 for one of these mugs.
Whoa.
Just knowing my luck, I'm going to be so upside down on this mug order in a year that I'm going
to be ruined. You're just going to have stacks of mugs in the background.
I'm going to have $8,000 worth of mugs, and I will have sold 17.
Well, if you have 120,000 followers and 10,000 buy a mug. What's 10,000 times 20?
Exactly. That's
nobody knows, and there's no
dude,
way.
That's $200.
There's no
right
way
there.
To know.
Yeah.
Okay. Getting
that's 200 specific. Bucks. Is that?
Yeah,
it?
Yeah. That's $200, dude. So getting specific, Brian.
No, 10,000.
Yeah, $200. So Brian, if you
$20,000,
if you would agree. No, you got to carry. You carry the zero. It's like taxes and whatnot. So about 200. If you, Brian, getting specific, will you agree to let me? Can we play one of your Instagrams, one of your messages right now? Can I just play one? I have a question.
Can you do
about
screen
it.
Grab on it? Like, can,
yeah. Play I'll it, put it play in it. Later.
Or you asked Brian for permission.
I did just ask Brian.
Yes. Yeah, you know
I said
what?
Yes.
I'm in a yes mood these days. I'm saying yes to everything. Put it up there and let's just let it fly. Good morning, it's Brian. It's Saturday. On Saturday, I talk about some food that I ate during the week, and it's a bit of a somber one today because I have to ask for help. It's important to ask for help in life. We all need help from time to time. May I present to you my lentil curry? I made this, and it's tasteless. Tastes like nothing. And I don't know what I did wrong. I followed a recipe. And I put everything in there. Curry powder, cumin, coriander, turmeric for the health, onions, garlic, salt, pepper, coconut milk. It's all in there. And not just a little bit. Buckets of it, shovels of it, more than is necessary. And it still just tastes like a piece of air. Looks good, but tastes like the wind. What have I done wrong? What's the secret ingredient? Is it a pinch of cinnamon? Is it 10 sticks of butter? Someone tell me, how do they make their curry taste good? I have it at a restaurant and it's remarkable, but not this. And I need some help. We'll be right back.
So there it is. A perfectly wonderful example of a Nothling Morning update. And this one was about your lentil curry. And yeah. I kind of left, I'm going to be honest with, and I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm just saying it left me hanging because I wanted to know if you got any advice? Like, did you fix the lentil curry? Did you figure out what was wrong? Why it was tasteless?
Yes. So next time when I make it, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to bloom the spices. I didn't know what that was.
What does that?
I still
mean?
Don't.
So you got to cook them. You don't just throw them in the liquid and stir them around.
Okay.
You have to put them like in the bottom of the pan in some oil and cook them so that they develop a flavor.
And then they'll like infuse the oil or whatever.
I guess so. I mean, I'm just going to do it. I don't know why we're doing it, but I'm doing it. And then I didn't use butter. I didn't use any oil. Like, a lot. You're supposed to use a lot of oil.
Oh.
You need butter.
Okay. Yeah, so you made sort of a healthy one, though, probably. That was probably good for you, what you had.
I don't care about that. It tasted like absolute trash. It tasted like nothing, which just doesn't make any sense. When you waste a bunch of spices on a dish and you can't even taste them, where are they?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, that is the thing. I also jumped into some home cooking in this last year, and you spend 6 hours like making something because you're marinating, you're waiting, you're coming back. And then when it tastes like shit, you're like, oh, okay, so the amount of time that I have on my hands isn't the problem. That's not why I'm a bad cook. Is that I'm a bad cook. I can no longer blame it on, well, I don't have the time to be a good cook.
It's because I'm bad at cooking.
And then I was shit.
Last Christmas, I was like, I'm going to make great sandwiches. Just great. I'm going to grill them. I'm going to do everything. And I spent like $40 on sandwich stuff.
Yeah.
And then I made these shitty sandwiches, like 3 out of 10. They were like, terrible. And I could have bought 4 restaurant sandwiches.
Yeah. Beautiful paninis.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to stop. I've actually banned myself from cooking steak. One, I'm trying to eat a little less meat. But two, I almost burned the house down. Straight up, almost started a fire. So
how are you cooking that steak?
I was going to cooking school at the time. I was taking courses, physically going to a school.
Who's teaching you? Because you don't burn your house down when you cook.
So I get a cast iron. I get a cast iron grill. I put it in the oven for half an hour at 400 degrees. So I get it, as the cook said, ripping hot. Then I take that out with gloves. I put it on the stove. The stove's on high. All right.
Take it out with your bare hands. That's your problem. You should have taken it out with your bare hands.
Yeah, that's the more cool manly thing to do is just take it out with my bare. And then you get the cast iron logo grilled into your hand. So, and it smells good. It smells like a nice steak. So I put that on the stove, turn the stove on to high, add grapeseed oil because it has a really high smoke point. So it's like going to, like, you can't do olive oil on that because it'll just catch fire.
It'll catch fire.
And it starts sizzling right away. It's like, I'm like, that's pretty dangerous. Like hop and oil. That's pretty dangerous. Let's get the steak in there. I put the steak in there and all the sizzling goes away. Right. It's like, it stops. I was like, oh, that's weird. And then just quietly, just boom, the whole thing lights.
What?
The whole thing is just fire. And the fire within maybe a second is licking the ceiling of our apartment. Like it's a column of flames past the microwave, past the top cupboard, licking the ceiling. And I was just like, I was just like, Julie, I need your help right now. I go under the cupboard to get the baking stuff. And I was like, is it baking powder or baking soda? I don't know which one it is. I threw whichever
one
was
closest.
It's water.
You threw water on it.
You're supposed to throw water on a grease fire. So I throw a bunch of baking soda or powder. I can't remember one of them, but whatever it was, it did the trick. Put a pan on it.
Whoa, you had a 50-50 chance of dying.
Yeah. Then I had a panic attack after that. So it was just like, I was just like, that was the last time I tried doing a sear, like searing meat.
I've heard
of
doing
a steak in a pan, Peter. You don't need to get it 400 degrees. You can just turn the burner on.
Do the reverse sear, which is literally you do the opposite of what you just did.
Yeah.
And you sear it
slow
on both sides
microwave
and then throw it in the oven. Yeah, microwave it. Just boil it.
Because I like the steak rare is the problem. So the pans and the stove, the glass top shitty stove where you can see the element go like on, off, on, off. Like that's how it keeps the temperature up. It's not like gas. So the pans lose heat, gain heat, lose heat. They're constantly fluctuating. So I'm leaving the steak on there for too long before I get any nice brownage. It just goes, it doesn't go like it. I think they're called souks or sucks or whatever, like the crispy bits. It doesn't get any of that. It just goes sort of like gray.
You get the crispy bits. You gotta score your fat. You know, slice along
like
there,
like
so
the little
that,
hatch lines.
Hatch lines.
I've never heard anyone refer to that as souks or sucks, Peter.
maybe I'm making that up. Let me look.
Oh, so if we're piling on Peter, I haven't either. I'm
not gonna let that slide. I'm gonna need you to fact check soups or sucks. I know it's the Maillard reaction. I know that.
And
Binging with Babish told me that.
Binging with Babish, yeah. And we're trying to get the Leidenfrost reaction to happen so that you don't burn your meat right to the pan. But I can't figure it out, and I always just burn the house down.
I mean, I think you just turn the pan on and wait 10 minutes and throw it in there.
Don't you have a barbecue upstairs on your porch? We've used it before.
Yes, we do.
When you go up there and, you know, marinate your steak, put it nice and high,
Four minutes on
each side, and then you're done.
I've been banned from cooking steak. I feel like you're not understanding that part.
I know the feeling of like, go to the butcher and you buy a $17 steak.
Yeah, it was $17.
I went
to a butcher shop.
Yeah.
And it's ruined.
I've done that before, but never like that. Never like that. I have lit the barbecue on fire, but it was, you know, you turn it on, you preheat it, and then I left it for too long and I came out and it was just, because I hadn't cleaned the barbecue. It's just so much layered on grease at the bottom that sort of was just billowing out from each side of the barbecue. And it sort of became its own like candle in a way, because I turned all the propane off and it was just like the flame was licking the sides of the house, just licking, lapping it up. But it was just like going on its own at that point because it was just living off of the grease of the unclean
Which is a
barbecue.
Nice way to clean it, at least.
So
I completely
shut down when stuff like that happens. I shut down
me too.
Completely.
I didn't know what to do.
The house. I just watch it and I go, I'm done.
So I had the same reaction. What do I do? I go to run inside and I pull on the door of the handle of the door, pull the door of the handle too hard and it suctions the other door in. So then I'm stuck. I'm literally locked outside with this barbecue fire. So I took the barbecue cover and I just started smothering it.
Yeah.
And I burned
smothering
through
the plan. That's the way
I burned
go.
Through the barbecue cover.
You used the cloth one?
No, it was like a heavy duty, like
rubber plastic
one, but it burned through. I guess there's plastic in it for sure.
Well,
the flame was very big.
because you're even a non on fire barbecue, you're probably not supposed to put the cover on it. Even if it's on, like if it's on that cover,
Absolutely not.
You're gonna melt that.
100%.
It's in the rules.
Never do it.
It says it on the inside of the cover.
What's your burning down this the house story,
he
Brian?
He doesn't have We've one. All Look at the one. Guy. Look how mature this guy looks.
You're almost burning down.
Have I ever caught anything on fire before? No.
Yeah.
I don't believe I've ever caught anything on fire before. I had to think about it. Oh, you know what? Absolutely not. One time I almost burnt a woman's deck down because I was like 20 and was lighting 151 proof alcohol on fire. And like, I was like dumping it around and lighting it on fire. And I was like, this is gonna be so cool. I'm gonna light things on fire. But it fell through her deck and started burning the brush under her deck. And it eventually went out, but that could have been bad, I think.
That could have been very bad.
That would have been a house burner right there.
I was thinking for a second you were talking about, like, our deck in
Vancouver.
This was Marjorie's else's deck.
Because that was, you had a stacked deck then.
This was at a party in West Vancouver.
Mm. Yeah, 20, we weren't living together at 20.
Done that night.
Oh, geez.
We had graduated.
It does make me think about moments in your life where you're like, oh, I almost changed my life for a long time or permanently.
I hate.
I was fooling around in a parking lot in my friend's like Suburban or something as a teenager, and he was trying to do donuts or he was just turning really hard, and I wasn't belted in, and I opened the door as he was turning. I'm passenger side. He turns hard left. I open the door, centrifugal motion. I'm sucked out the door. I'm hanging onto the door as it's holding out open, but and also the wheel's turned left, right? So it's out of the wheel well, you know, on a hard left. So I'm looking at the rubber of this wheel ripping up into the car, you know, into the wheel well or whatever. And my face is like, and I got back into the car, slammed the door, and laughed with my friend, like we're having such a good time. But in the back of my head, I was like, I almost pressed my face into a tire that would have dragged me into the wheel well.
Like, why did you open
almost
the door?
It was almost done.
Why did you open the door?
Listen, Brian, I don't need to get...
We're young and dumb.
Like 17 or something. I thought it would be funny to open the door like they do in the actions, in the action movies.
Kids shouldn't... I even think about like when I was 17, just like testing out how fast my car can go for a second. And I'm, you know, even getting up to like 160 and I'm like, that's too fast.
Yeah, nobody needs
it's
to
too
that.
Fast. Why
it's
was
video,
I doing that?
It's video game logic because as 17, you're so far away from being old and dying or realizing that you're not actually going to make it out of this planet alive. Mm-hmm. So you are, and you kind of don't think anything bad could happen to you because you're like the main character. You're like, I'm not going to, like, I'll go fast. Other people can go, you know, they get in accidents or whatever, but I'm me. I'm the hero of my own story. I'm not going to get into an accident. Yeah, it's probably too young to be able to drive, maybe. Maybe we're old.
You didn't have your license until... What do you mean you're too young to be able to drive? You just, like, got it last year.
No. Yeah, I'm scared of cars, but
you still have your N, don't you?
Don't say that here. I don't have it on the back of the car. I'm going to get pulled over now.
Peter,
I had my N for so long, Peter.
Yeah.
So long. I had
if you're listening and you're from Ontario, the N is the license where you're not quite good enough. Yeah. To have the full
There's
license.
A bunch of restrictions, and I'm supposed to have a sticker on the back of the car, and I do neither. So I should definitely just get it done and get a proper license.
Yeah. I had my N for 8 years.
Yeah.
And I didn't put it on the car either. I just drove around with an N license playing with fire. I'm a gambler.
Like the move was to cut out the N from the green background that it's on and then flip it on its side, and you'd have a little Z, a little black Z. Very but cool to go on your
where
car.
Where did you put it? Just
on the
like
back
somewhere.
Of your car. And you
no,
could still get a ticket
random?
For that. Because
yeah, for
not,
sure. That's not a green end.
You just now have a Z magnet on the back of your car.
The idea was that if you didn't have an N and you were driving along and you saw someone with an N, you were supposed to do something to be more cautious.
Yeah.
But every time I saw someone with an N, I was like, who gives a shit? Like just
well, and you kind of and you try to bump their
worse
car a
drivers
bit, like you run them off the road a little.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like
I do a little.
Yeah.
put a little pressure on.
Because they can only, they're only allowed one person in the car at a time with an N anyway, so you wouldn't really, there wouldn't be too many casualties.
That's the rule.
And just knock them off the
road. Yeah, we would pile kids into the back. Kids, yeah. When I was a kid, we'd get a bunch of younger kids and pile them in the back. No,
Chris is talking. Chris is talking about now. He likes to pile kids in the back of his car and just go for a rip.
Just scare him a bit.
I'd be driving a full minivan of my friends around with an N.
Yeah,
100%.
Which is like, I wouldn't have ever been able to drive again if they caught me. They would have been like, "This is, it's over for you."
You know what? I gotta say, Brian, you are putting the fire of God in me a little bit. Like, I might actually tomorrow just zip out to the ICBC and wait.
Yeah, zip out and take the test and fail.
You're not gonna pass that.
I'm an excellent driver.
No way you're
gonna fail. I'm an excellent driver.
They won't make you parallel park.
They don't?
Nope. I have never parallel parked. There's a fun
You're gonna practice. Be able to reverse stall park tomorrow on a dime without practicing?
My dude, I reverse stall park like the best of them. I reverse stall park like it. I can't even forward stall park. That's how good I am at reverse.
You're gonna
park.
Have to do that too, so you're gonna fail there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So you only have to park the one time. You have to park the one time. What you're gonna have to do is you're going to have to pull in behind a car on the street.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to reverse stall park back at the ICBC.
At the ICBC. Yeah. I can do that. I can figure that out.
I mean, I've failed my N test like 3 times. I shouldn't really, but I'm a better driver for it. You know, I'm a great driver now.
I failed my N. I failed my test to get my N 4 times. And one time I failed in Victoria, where we were going to school, that I didn't have it yet.
Yeah.
And it was such a stupid reason that I failed that I cried.
Mm-hmm. It's very frustrating.
I cried in front of the man that failed me because I was so frustrated.
It's the worst though, because then you have to wait however many months or whatever till you can get another booking. It costs you money. Mm-hmm. I understand
so
that.
Much money.
I understand the emotion.
And also, they keep driving with you after you fail. Like, you fail on the road test.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then
that's
just,
right.
Like, drive
yeah,
me back you're to like the ICBC.
You
like
failed.
If I could drive back to the ICBC, what the? Give me my fucking license.
You're trusting me to get you back to work.
Yeah, we should switch seats. Like, what?
Yeah, switch seats immediately.
You failed at driving. Now drive me home.
Yeah.
I'm mad at you. Drive me back to my work.
Yeah, that happened to me on the third time. Yeah,
at this point, you're an illegal driver dropping him off at work.
Yeah.
You're not fit to drive.
You're like, good point. Get out.
Yeah. I remember the third time I failed was kind of like, I was like, oh, if it was a different day, a different time, I wouldn't have failed. I was driving down Mackenzie, big, wide, four-lane road, and a fire truck passes coming this way, and I'm going this way. And I didn't pull over because you're coming cresting over the hill. Fire truck passes. I didn't pull over. Instant fail.
That's ridiculous.
I know. I thought it was ridiculous too.
Yeah. That's stupid.
And you can't fight with these fucking alcoholics that are giving the test. And because they're not going to give you an inch. These miserable people with their lives. But who wants this job? It must be a terrible job.
That's a terrible job. That really is a bad job. I feel for those people. Sort of. I mean, if you need a job and that's the only one you can get, I feel for you. But yeah, if you want that job, I don't necessarily want to be friends with you.
I mean, I bet you it's a nice little stack of cash.
Yeah.
Union, probably must. Union.
City. It's a city job, I bet.
Yeah.
I would assume.
City job. I was going to look it up.
Are you looking it up? Okay. Well, speaking
for ICBC.
What's in the bank account of an ICBC?
How much
employee?
Is in the bank account?
Nothing. Because they're blowing it all on whiskey.
speaking of looking things up, I did look it up. In French culinary terminology, souks are the tiny brown deposits at the bottom of the pot or the pan, also known as fond.
Fond. I've heard fond all the time. There isn't a cooking person on YouTube that won't talk in length about the fond.
Yeah, and they all think they're the ones revealing it to you.
Yeah. Oh, and this is called the fond. I'm like, we know.
We know. We've known.
Emeril Lagasse
time.
Told me 15 years ago.
Well, and it's because you get to say things like deglaze, and you get to sound like you're really on top of your stuff.
All right. So we
and
got
I
a,
deglazed. It's all right. It's nothing to write home about.
It's not. You. It's just liquid in the pan after you cook some stuff.
Yeah, it's
like,
a bit
let's
salty,
all relax.
But that's where the flavor comes from.
Yeah, and just do wine or broth, and you're fine.
I should have probably deglazed the lentils.
Yeah. Oh, did they? Yeah. You got some souks in your pan?
I don't know. I use a non-stick
Oh, you might have still got souks, but they might not have been stuck to the pan.
Every time you say it. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you know, Brian, what gets those souks off the pan the best, if you have a lot of good souks in the bottom of your pan?
Yeah. So, anyway, a DMV clerk, okay, this is in US dollars, okay, about $44,000 a year.
Yeah, but that's just a clerk.
Geez. Now, if you're a lead clerk, though,
$45,000. Oh, you're making one more $1,000 a month to be in charge of everybody?
Yeah. That's in the, isn't that usually how it goes, you know? Get a promotion.
That's brutal.
At a certain level, middle management, you don't want a promotion. More money for more problems.
Because you know what that means? You're the same as the other clerks, but you have to do the schedule.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta, every day. And you got to deal with their schedule.
And then Deborah's like, I need 2 hours for lunch. Yeah.
Oh. They want Christmas day off. And you're like, we're not even open.
Now, I couldn't agree more with Chris. Don't you hate it when workers want Christmas off? Like, such losers. Like, just work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know. You make triple time.
It's nice. I've worked Christmas before. It's not so bad.
It's not so bad. You get a. We worked at Butcher Art Gardens in Victoria. You know, you'd get triple time if you worked on the 24th, 25th, or the 26th. Now, the 26th, that's the one you want.
A lot of people, Bouchard Gardens must be hell on Boxing Day. I mean,
oh, God. It's people's tradition.
Gotta go to Bouchard.
Gotta go to Bouchard.
Hey, we're going to Bouchard.
Gonna go look at the light display in the flowers.
No.
You got it. We have to.
We got to go to Bouchard. It is a very spectacular garden. I will give
it's
you
a,
that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful garden.
I was going to say.
Yeah, it's a good garden. Yeah.
World famous.
If you're listening to this podcast, slip over to the YouTube because I'll throw up some images of Bouchard and you can see what you're missing. It is.
Oh, my gosh. Mwah. I used to be a parking attendant at Bouchard's, and that is Bouchard's.
I prefer Bouchard.
Yeah, you can say it however you want, really. Who cares? Just someone's and was last
that,
name.
And what was that?
Hold
that was
on, sorry. It's Bouchard's garden?
Bouchard?
Bouchard. Bouchard's? Or is there a T?
Not
is there an S on the end?
No fancy, just like Bouchard.
Bouchard.
Bouchard's.
Bouchard garden.
Yeah.
It's Bouchard's garden.
Beautiful, though. And every Saturday during the summer, swamped with people. They would do firework display every Saturday.
Oh yeah. I've seen it.
People would flock.
I've been there.
That sounds flock worthy.
Disney World-esque fireworks.
I bet you with Instagram now too, it's just terrible. We were at High Park going for a walk. High Park's in Toronto, everybody. We were at High Park going for a walk, and there's one red tree in High Park. Mm-hmm. And it's swamped with Instagram people.
I know.
I can't imagine what's going on at Bouchard's.
Well, I mean, it costs like $35 per person to get in, so I don't think these influencers.
And then you can get go for high tea. You can get a high tea there.
You really can.
Hey,
Victoria really wants to be.
They love a high tea in Victoria.
Yeah,
they love tea.
I have getting back to your newfound fame, Brian. There's a little bit of a segue there. I'm just trying to deglaze the souks off the pan, right, Chris?
Do it again. Start that segue again. And so I won't interrupt it.
I just did it, though.
Again.
I was completely
I don't know, but just
segue.
Do it again.
Okay. So Brian, talking about being a successful.
$45,000 a
son
year.
Of a
I'm just sort of stuck on that.
And that's management. You're not getting anyone up from that.
Speaking of $45,000 a year, Brian, how are you? You doing good financially, or like how much money are you making
on the with the TikTok, or just as a general?
Yeah, I guess
thing.
Like just in just like
I'm
in general.
I mean, I've invested thousands of dollars in a smart S&P 500 ETF, Peter.
Whoa!
You
know,
yeah, what
going
you got?
Up with
you got
the stock market.
Yeah, VFV. Which
returns.
One you got? Vanguard World.
Vanguard. I'm in Vanguard. Just in.
Yeah, you
got
to do Vanguard's.
Making 5-6%. Come on.
Whoa. Yeah.
You know, I have a job at the company, and I make money with that.
Now, are we worried about the stock market? Are we getting out of our TFSAs right now? Just pulling out, you know, and come back.
Are you?
I mean, I'm
out?
Thinking every day it goes down a little bit. I think this is I'm pulling out.
Yeah,
I don't know what to do.
It's the long run, aren't you? Just supposed to just like
you're supposed
dollar
to,
cost average. You're supposed to just keep buying in.
But what about this strategy? Everyone's saying the stock market's gonna crash any year now, any day now.
God.
Pull out for now, put in an account, throw back in at a lower price. Boom.
Yeah. buy low, sell high.
Yeah. That's the rules.
You know what? That is the deglazing of the financial world. That's the you know how you get that shit off the bottom of your pan? You buy low and you sell high. Yeah, I do agree with that maxim of investing. Try to make more money than you lose.
Yeah, exactly. And be able to predict the future a bit too.
Oh, 100%.
When really I first started investing years ago, I was gambling on marijuana stocks. And it was a great rush.
Totally.
It felt fantastic. And then I realized I had a gambling problem.
Because if you don't know what you're doing.
Gambling on weed stocks because I lost upwards of $10,000 in one.
Whoa.
Day.
Really?
And those were my gains, though. That's all the money I gained. I lost in a morning. And I was like, this is over.
That's crazy.
And then I made out with an extra $270. That's what I was up to, 70 by the end of it.
Hey,
well, at least you didn't lose your shirt. You just didn't. You lost your gains, but you got out.
And so now I'll only invest in the ETF.
Yeah.
Index this is funds. Thrilling for your listeners. We're talking.
They love it. We talk about stuff like this all the time. They really, really, really love it.
We talk about it, but we never dive deep enough to.
What I'm interested in is getting into one of these like Dungus coins or whatever these coins are.
No, don't do it.
And you put $100 in, and then you wake up one morning and you have $500 billion, but no one can buy it.
Get a Dungus.
Get yourself a Dungus coin.
Yeah.
Don't do it. They're like almost 100% of them are pump and dumps from the person who created them.
Exactly. So why can't I pump and dump too?
A guy woke up with $500 million. That's what his stuff was worth.
The Shiba Inu coin guy.
But no one would buy it, so it didn't matter, and he was unfazed by this. I would have blown my brains out.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not actually worth it. I think we're living in the second, like, the tulip craze. I think it's the same thing again.
Tell me about this tulip thing.
We're talking, I believe, Northern Europe. We're talking Netherlands or whatever.
Does this have anything to do with tulips, like the flower? Because it better. Oh, it does. I'm in.
It's about the flower. Hmm. Literally about tulip bulbs started to, they were a price bubble. They started to inflate crazy prices. People were like, oh, you have a tulip bulb that in the summer will grow into like a blue and white stripe or something flower. It's like, that shit is rare. They became like Pokemons. It was like you were trying to collect the rarest, like coolest tulip bulbs. Hmm. There were tulip bulbs that were going for the price of a house. Mind you, the price of a house back then was probably reasonable. But like, the price went absolutely bonkers on tulips.
Huh.
What year was this? What year are we talking about? When are they trading these tulips for?
Okay, here's the thing. Now we're getting into the place where you realize I'm full of shit, but I'm
I'm like 10%. Now we're there? Now?
Because my question here is this. You're looking at a tulip bulb.
Yeah.
You don't know what that's going to grow into.
No.
But somebody tells you this is going to be a rainbow tulip, greatest tulip you've ever seen.
Yeah.
But then it's olden days. So you give someone the tulip, they give you 40,000 gold, and then you leave on a horse and carriage and you never see him again. Mm-hmm. And then the tulips poo brown or whatever.
Brian, let me ask you this, Brian.
Poo brown
Are we
tulip.
Not seeing any familiarities?
I don't see any parallels. Not me. You're talking about flowers. We're talking about coins.
Somebody tries to sell
you. You can hold a flower.
Somebody tries to sell you an NFT of a cat trying to play the keyboard, and they're telling you it's worth 45 Ethereum, and you're like, what are any of the words you just said? And then you learn just enough to be dangerous, and then you're gambling again.
And then you're gambling. Yeah, I can't
just
get into,
enough
I can't
to be
get into
dangerous
it or I'll be done. We'll be done.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
I don't here's what I don't understand about Bitcoin. Bitcoin is worth what it's worth, right?
Sure.
It's worth $50,000 a coin or whatever right now.
It's
but they
worth
want
whatever
it to become
people
the
agree.
Currency of the world, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what happens when I want to buy a coffee once Bitcoin becomes the currency of the world? What does it cost? When I go into the store, what does it cost?
It'll cost what it costs that day, like the dollar.
No, but will like a cup of coffee still be worth $2, or will it be worth point?
Yeah.
0.00048 of a Bitcoin.
Right.
Is that what it will say on the? Is that what it will say on the menu?
You know what I think? I think they'll be called Satoshis, because
no, they won't.
Let me explain. A Satoshi is what they call small chunks of a Bitcoin.
Yeah, but so I'm not going to call it that. I'm not going to call it that.
That's a man's name. That's a group of people's name.
I will take to the streets if that's what we... Yeah, but you just say sats or something. Oh, it's like
stack
10
sats. Toshis.
Yeah, you're stacking sats.
Yeah, a couple of toshay. Give me a couple of tosh.
Yeah, so I do this stand-up show at a bar. Pay me 10 tosh. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, that works. That works for me. Yeah.
But here's the thing.
I need it to be worth a dollar.
What you're saying, I think, is that you need it to be stable. It needs to stop doing this. And that's true. If it's
that's not what I'm saying. That's what economists from Harvard.
I
just described their intelligence to you, though.
Right.
Yes.
You speak with intelligence.
You do. You really do.
Thank you so. Thank you so.
Moving on to absolutely anything else. We can...
Wait, Chris. Yeah. Do you have a thing? Because I do have an actual question.
Okay. If you have an actual question, we get one more about cryptocurrency.
No, not that.
Oh, good. Yes.
Yeah, I know. Before we start talking about finance, because that was the joke question that I asked, like if it, how much physical actual money you're making. That's a very rude question, which I find fun. But Brian, my real question was just about like, would you say it's like kind of a whatever cringy word or whatever, but would you say you are an influencer of sorts? Like, are you at that level now where it's like maybe a brand deal, or is that not a thing you want to commercialize? You're just having fun.
I am at the point now where I'm getting asked to sell things for free product.
Okay. So that's level one, basically, right?
Yeah. And what I'm doing is I will say no.
Yeah.
How much money do you have? Much like yourself. Yeah. I'll say, how much money do you have to give me instead? And then I will get radio silence from you. It won't answer back ever.
Yeah.
Great. If there was
Steph,
a product
Steph
though,
Tolev told us
that you would do for free, is there one that you'd sell out for free product for?
Cars. Just a
car.
A whole car.
I mean, I'm about to do a coffee product.
Yeah.
But as an affiliate marketing thing.
It makes sense because you're drinking out of the mug.
It's so it's the only one I've agreed to simply because I drink coffee. So I'm going to say, hey, buy this coffee.
Right. Right. And then it's affiliate marketing. So
if they click on my link, but like, who's going to do that? But if they do it, I get money.
I mean, that that's the whole thing. Influencer culture is all about scale. Like, it's like if you have 100,000 people watching, you just need a percent of them to click on it to make anything. So if you have 1,000 people watching, you're not going to make anything, you know. But the or if
are
you
talking about a certain pod?
If you have 50 people watching, it'll cost you money.
How many people are going to be listening to this, seeing this? What are we talking about here?
Big no, number? Don't tell them. Don't tell them, Chris. Let's just move on.
Nah, let's just move on. Listen, it really varies. I find it varies on the guest's ability, a desire to share. Most guests do.
I'm gonna share this on TikTok, and my audience comprised mainly of females from the United States of America will listen.
Then this is gonna get hundreds of views.
That's a good demo. That is a demo we would like.
That's my demo. I'll check my analytics right now. It's really quite something. Because I get less and less men follow me every day.
I wonder what that's all about. I like you. I like following you. I consider myself a man.
There we are right now. That's what it is right now. If you can see that, it's 89.2% female.
Female. Wow, that's a cool.
Dude.
That is cool.
And 70% the United States.
You have to be somewhat proud of those metrics, right? Are you like, nice. I'm saying something
Yeah, I mean,
like
yes and no, because I think I might come across as a bit of a mess. A single mess.
Oh, and that's why they like you? They like projects.
Yes. A work, yeah, fixer-upper.
Funny. I'm a funny, like, goofy guy. I mean, I'm not very very aggressive, you know?
You're like those pop stars that you have to be secret if you ever find a partner and you fall in love with them. You can't put them in your content because it'll, like, they'll be like, they'll wreck your mess brand.
Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely you right. can't. You can't have a go. No. No, you can't do that.
Well, you can have one. You just have to be secretive about
it. You got to. Now, I feel like if you all, you know, load up your email right now, and you go to a script, okay, that's been sent out. It's called Furious Anger Fun Hour Tech Script. Yeah. I feel like we're coming up to the time in the pod where 100%. I said towards the end, you could hear that script. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, let's for sure wrap this up. Yeah, let's wrap it up.
That we could maybe load this up, do a little reading of it. You know, Peter's probably going to, you know, score it a bit for sure. He's going to do that. And then we could talk about this text script.
so just so you know, Brian, I don't know if you've loaded it up yet, but Chris did not like find the script. We have to, you have to scroll and find it.
Oh, I know exactly where it is. I've been on it for a while.
Yeah, it's you go down.
Page six. Page six.
Sorry, I was just trying to roast Chris.
I love our formatting of what we used to do in our scripts. So just like every sketch has a different size font.
Somebody else wrote it.
They're very copy-paste jobs, and it's brutal. This is a sketch. I'll just set it up because I'm not a part of it. Okay, I'll set this up. It's called Red Coats.
Yeah.
It takes place, I'd say it's our most... Monty Python-esque. I don't want to, you know what?
Ooh,
I take that back. I want the audience to discover that for themselves.
I'm not editing that out. Okay, perfect. Here we go.
But this is, you know, the beginning of the invention of camouflage around then, okay?
Are we, read it straight and then we're going to comment on it after?
Yeah, I think so. Read it straight, right? Comment after. Because it speaks for itself. It's very funny. I reread it. This is from 2012 when we did a run at the Vancouver Fringe Festival. And I think you'll find that we were funny then and aren't now.
Yeah, we're definitely less funny. We're definitely less funny than we used to be.
I mean, you grow up. You know?
You grow.
Yeah. You grow.
You grow out of it. You grow out of being
funny. Brian Nothing will be playing the part of General. And Peter will be playing the part of soldier, I think, right?
Yep, that's what
it is. That was how it happened. Okay. I'm just going to enjoy this.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay.
Ready?
Ah, good. You've arrived. Have you brought my decanter?
No, sir. I thought that you wouldn't need it on account of the battle we're about to enter.
Ah, yes, the battle. Today our ranks shall march upon the villainous French, and they shall be cut asunder. Are we ready?
We are.
Troops ready?
Troops are ready.
Outstanding. Now, the French control the river to the north. Here is the strategy. The men shall form rank and file here and here. The enemy will most likely be in front of us. If they are not, we will compensate so that they are.
Fine plan, sir.
Fine? Fine? We are attacking the French head on. This is an excellent plan. Fine is more like how you feel. And then I was going to insert a really funny joke here.
I read one script where it was, fine is how you feel when your wife dies. It was something like that. Several drafts.
Yes. A very, very funny joke, sir. And an excellent plan. But might I make one suggestion?
Excuse me?
Might I suggest a tiny bit of chicanery?
Yeah.
Would it not be more prudent, sir, to hide in the trees and surprise the French when they least expect it?
You don't seem to understand. We march in rank and file until we meet the French and attack them head on.
Yes. And bear with me. Wouldn't it be a lark if instead of doing that, we snuck about a bit?
This is war. There is no sneaking about.
No, I understand, but can't we just, maybe just hide a few men in the trees and shoot them from the side? I mean, they would suffer many more casualties, and they may even retreat, offering you a quick victory.
It wouldn't be a victory if the other team didn't know it was us who won. They would just think it was some schoolboys mucking about in the woods.
I think that they would think it was the English, sir.
Nonsense. This is how it's been done for years. We line up opposite the other lineup. They wear blue, we wear red. That way we know who's who. And those of us whose flesh is not torn asunder by bullets dusts off their coats and has tea. Or male genitals, if you're French.
Oh, sir, but seriously, I think we have it all wrong. Red is so bright and everyone can see us. I mean, hear me out, I have some green coats back in my tent. And what if we could affix some branches to them and really stick it in the bottom of those blue fannies?
You don't seem to understand. If we are hiding in the bushes wearing green coats, how will the French know where we are? I'm going to do that again. If we are hiding in the bushes wearing green coats, how will the French know where we are? Nothing would get done. We would just be in the bushes... crouch down like Sunday whores. Sometimes you're a real Nancy.
I wish he wouldn't yell at me.
Do you know the other generals make fun of me? They all laugh together. Oh, look, there goes that whimpering whoremaster who has no control over his men.
But you should be happy your men are so comfortable with you. It's a circle of trust.
Oh, circle of trust, my britches. They just don't respect me. You don't respect me.
And you think it's easy talking to you? My therapist says that because of the soldiers' general dynamic in the workplace, you don't respect me as an individual when it comes to us.
Us?
Yes, us. Or have you forgotten that that's why we're doing this?
Aren't we doing this because of our hatred for the French?
No, the therapy, you nitwit. I believe in us, and I believe that we work well together.
We do work well together.
We do. Now close your eyes.
No. We're not doing...
We are. Oh, we are.
We're not doing the exercise.
Yes, we are. Close your eyes.
And I do.
Now, imagine a battlefield. It is burned and charred, and there are bodies everywhere. Amidst the remains of broken cannons are flags. French flags. This is the site of a glorious and brutal victory for the English, made possible by the only the strongest of generals, the greatest of men. And look, there he is, standing on a hilltop in all his splendor. And behind him is one of his most stalwart soldiers, shirt in tatters and muscles glistening in the light. Do you recognize the general?
The general is me.
Yes. And the soldier?
The soldier is you, yes.
Yes. Now open your eyes and seize that dream.
Well, maybe I have been a little hard on you. I just want to be a good general. I want my troops to respect me.
Well, then let's tell the rest of them that it was your idea to hide some men in the bushes and sneak about.
Oh, you would do that for me?
Of course I would, my kitten. The sooner this war is finished, the sooner we're curled up in a grizzly pelt in front of a roaring fire. Although I remember an alt that I used to do. The sooner this war is finished, the sooner we're curled up in front of a giraffe pelt with the neck bit sticking way out in front of a roaring fire.
Okay, tell my men to change their coats and move to the bushes and give Papa a kiss.
I love you.
And I you. Scene.
Wow. Wonderful. Stuff. Wonderful.
It
gotta
was,
say, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not bad.
It's good. It is. It is young.
It's young.
There's definitely some stuff in there that I don't think we would do it to this day, but because we wrote it back then, it is fine.
It's fine now. It's actually fine though.
Because it was from then.
Yes.
We're
playing characters. These are generals in the war. They're going to be in the war of 1812
or something.
This way. So context matters.
Context matters. These are soldiers.
Now, it's good. And then they didn't need to kiss right at the end. That's just in my opinion.
Let's lay the cards on the table. Because what is the part that you're saying we couldn't perform today? It's probably because it's as...
The language. The language.
It's as equally homophobic as it is homoerotic.
That is the balance I was trying to strike, Peter. Thank you.
Yeah. I see it as a general.
Yeah.
And a soldier wanting to work well together. And they've gone to therapy. Yeah. So that they can work well together. I don't think they have a romantic relationship outside of it.
I thought they do because they curl up in a giraffe pelt. They're
long-term relationship, I think.
Oh, this is those types of male friendships you read about in books. And then everybody at the time is like, oh, what good friends those two boys were.
Yes.
Yeah, like Peter and Chris.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, they loved each other. Yeah, they were fucking, come on.
It's more like that. Oh, please. Please.
Oh, please. I was pretty guilty of writing these far too complicated opening lines to things. And good, you've arrived. Have you brought my decanter?
That's right to the point. That maybe you could do a quick stage reading of the short blackout above Redcoats, Peter. It's all you.
That's good stuff.
I guess it actually is me. Okay.
Why are we doing this one?
Well, because I don't know. It's right here. We're looking at this old script, and I think it's still funny. Ready?
I still wanted to hear Brian's opinion. Okay, we'll get back to the we'll get back after. Okay, here's this blackout.
And now, the section of our show where we speak only in English accents. introducing Gandalf the Crossing Guard.
You shall pass. You shall pass. You shall pass. You shall not pass.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Nothing wrong with
that. No rule
of
three there. Nothing wrong on that one.
Oh, did I got an extra?
You should pass. You should
pass. No, that's how it's written. That's how it's written.
You should pass. Yeah, then rule of three.
I think you need three.
I think I probably performed it with four too. I'm not a very
I remember you
performing
that one for a long time, like really stretching it out. Because everybody knows. Well, as soon as you say you shall pass, everybody knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They laughed at the joke on the first you shall pass.
Yeah. So you actually almost have to wait it out.
You have to, yeah.
So that it becomes a different joke.
There's also one down a ways called Dubstep Chef, which is one of my one of my favorites.
We'll perform it. But your description of you dancing is needed. Okay, I'll be the line cook.
No, just dance for a bit. I'll put it in.
You were the one that was the chef.
Yeah, you were the chef.
You pop and lock.
And
yeah, this was
the
you.
Song
this was
your
called,
thing. The song was called Bass Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you don't remember you don't remember all the robot shit that you did in this? This was a killer sketch.
I don't remember this one. Are we performing it?
I mean, if not, if you don't remember it.
Oh, I don't remember the dance moves.
Oh, wait.
We've
got to
have this
robot
on tape somewhere.
It's just robot. Just do the robots and shake a salt shaker.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I play the song? Is that allowed or copyright?
Oh, I'll play it. We don't have enough. We don't have enough followers to monetize. It's fine. Do you have it?
I mean, I know exactly what it's called.
I'll put it in post.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay, I don't know what the beat. Okay, yeah, ready.
Okay,
ready.
I'm line cook. You're a chef, Peter. Here we go.
Line cook. Here. Try this.
Mmm. Oh my goodness. Chef, may I speak?
Go ahead.
Chef, may I speak?
Yes. You may. You
gosh, may I can speak? May
yes,
I?
Yes, you may. You may.
May I speak further?
You may.
This is delicious. This is so good. Chef, what did you put in this?
You want to know?
That's me. I'm on sound.
You want to know what I put in that? You want to know what I put in this sauce?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you. What? I can't dance sitting down.
Well, you didn't dance until...
Oh, what did I do?
You keep going. No, this was it. That's right.
Oh, yeah, this.
So salt?
Yeah, salt. Yeah, salt. Lots of salt in it.
Yeah. Didn't it come back to you? Can you remember that? I forgot about that one. That's a good one.
That literally just came back to me, and we should probably use that again in a show.
Yeah,
we should probably use all these old sketches. They're much better.
These are very good. There's a gold mine here.
Oh man!
One where you play a dog called Finnegan.
Yep.
Wonderful. Finnegan. This was a hit show. I think this was a 3 out of 5 show.
Solid 3 out of 5 at least.
Yeah, I think we got a good review. You know?
Yeah. Oh man. Oh, I'm out of breath.
And you know who else is out of breath? Everybody.
I was gonna say
everybody
like
on the podcast.
Yeah.
Everybody in the world. Because we had a wonderful time. It was an exhaustingly wonderful time.
Yeah, Brian, we like to get the energy down to a zero before the end. We don't try to end on a blow line or anything like that. We just
drop it right down.
Well, that's
we
just
drop
we it probably, right down. We probably shouldn't have listened to that song then.
Yeah, that was a little high energy for the end of a Peter and Chris show.
Yeah.
Good point. Well, fuck. You can follow Brian. He's our guest, Brian Nothling.
It's true.
On TikTok, @TheBNoth. right? And then on Instagram, at TheBeanoth.
Yeah.
Consistent branding.
TheBeanoth@gmail.com. Email me if you want.
That's how we can get a hold of you.
Okay. Email him.
Send me an email. If it's a coffee product, you might put it on your show. On your show.
Absolutely.
If you want a This Time It's Different mug.
Like I do.
If there's enough interest, I'll do some orders. How about
and
that?
If you want a Beanoth mug, I think just email them at beanoth@gmail.com.
I mean, this is, you can buy this at Dollarama, but yes.
This time, it's different. With Peter and Chris. This time, it's different.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.